The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I'm Jacqueline Johnson.
And I'm Marina Middleton.
And this is Work Party,
a podcast that's part work and part party.
Work Party celebrates a new generation of women who are redefining the meaning of work on their own terms and having fun while doing it.
In this podcast, we are diving into all the areas of being a working woman, mind, body, and business. No topic is off limit.
Real talk and hot takes. Think of us as your internet work wives. This is Work Party,
the podcast.
Wait, where's the champagne? Hey everyone, it's Jacqueline here, and welcome to a new episode of Work Party, the podcast. Today we're talking about building in public, the new lens of leadership that we are seeing online. More and more startups are building their company and being transparent about the process. What are the pros and cons, especially being a woman in business? Let's go.
Let's dive right into it.
So building in public, what does this mean? The reality is like when I started my company or companies, you never talked about your revenue. You never talked about your struggles of being an entrepreneur. You never talked about that. Everything was going so great. Now we're seeing transparency across the board of people and founders, frankly, sharing their stories, being public about things that went well, went wrong. And this comes after, you know, the big reckoning of 2020 where, you know, employees were no longer scared to call out their bosses for things that were good, bad, ugly, you know, whether they were right or wrong. And I think now it's like, even on Instagram, I'm seeing screen grabs of revenue, right? That coaches are posting about their course sales and all these things. How do you feel about it? What's your opinion just out the gate?
I mean, I think we talked about this briefly, but because I have helped so many founders build their personal brand, I think the wave comes from so many personal brand building businesses, right? They're the faces of their businesses. Again, the coaches are selling themselves, their expertise, like them. And so showing the revenue is their like flex to say, hey, my method works, hire me, right? It became like this marketing strategy.
Yeah.
I think that there has to be this happy medium of what you're sharing. I don't believe in gatekeeping. I want to share everything. If something has worked for me, I want to talk about it. I want to share it out. I want to be able to help the next person, which again is like really a lot of the things that we talk about, the blueprint or like what our intention is with the retreat, is like we're sharing the things that worked and the things that didn't work. There's no ego into it. You know what I mean? But so I think it just depends on what it is that you're sharing. Obviously, as long as you're not making anybody else feel bad and you're not bringing someone down with you. What are your thoughts about building in public?
I think there's pros and cons, right? I think the pro is that I do think there's something so relatable about it where people can build alongside you, hear about your struggles. Like I did not do that with Create and Cultivate at all. I was internalizing all of that. I had no one to talk to about it. I was definitely not putting it out there. You know, it was good news after good news after good news. And a lot of it was good news. You know what I'm saying? But like, no way was I going to post something that was, you know, negative in that way. But that was a different time.
Yeah.
I think now we're in this like very specific place of transparency, you know, which I really enjoy. And I think Cherub actually is really building in public. Like you're being a little bit more public about the money you're raising. Like fundraising used to be so hush hush. You would not talk to anyone about your valuation. What was their valuation? Now it's like, guys, I have a cool company. Invest in it. Here's what we're doing. We're doing this much in revenue. We're figuring it out. We're going into Costco, whatever it is. Like, that type of building in public, I love because it's community centric. It brings in more people into the conversation. It allows for more, you know, dollars to flow into the economy in different ways that normally they wouldn't. So that to me, I love. I think where I get a little icked out on the like revenue sharing side is I'm like, is this real? I have no idea. It could all be real and it's amazing, but I do think it's become a kind of an icky marketing tool.
Yeah.
To be like, look at this big flex. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not that person. I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I think I go back and forth just in terms of never the revenue. It has never, when I see someone, making $7 million and they screen grab it, I see that. It does nothing. It doesn't teach me how they made that. It does nothing.
But does it make you want to buy something from them?
No, because I hate it so much. Yeah. And I'm like, gross. Yeah, like, no. I don't know. But also, use a lot of common sense. Like, again, I think through COVID, a lot of the time, especially in the coaching space, and I'm very public about this, but like in the coaching space, people were selling these methods that not only like didn't work, but they were just selling. It was like a Ponzi scheme. Like, it was just, you know what I mean? Like, yes. I'm going to post $7 million that I made it, and then they're going to bring on more people. So anyway, so I don't like that. When I think of building in public, I think as a female CEO, as an entrepreneur, I want to show you how I manage work-life harmony. I want to show you how my schedule and like we're slammed, we're back to back. I want to show you that we're behind the scenes recording work party. You know what I mean? Like that's how I envision like building in public because it builds the community and people feel like they're building with us because they are, yeah. Right? Like when we're thinking about locations to do events, we're not like, where do you want to go, Jacqueline? No, it's where are our girls? Like where are they? Where's our community? And so really, I think it's the intentionality behind building in public.
Yeah. I think to your point, there's been a credibility crisis with the dawn of, you know, Instagram and TikTok and all these things and all these people being like, I'm an expert. Why?
Yeah.
Ask yourself why. Why are they an expert? And honestly, there was, I think it was a New York Times article that came out recently where we were saying people are giving this nutrition advice that is just wrong. Yeah. It's actually just scientifically proven wrong. And millions of followers and people are following their every word because they're like, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, when you watch something, you're like, oh, I can do it that. Like, and there's amazing things you learn on TikTok, right? Like there's things that I'm like, what? I did not know that's how you do that. That's so funny. There's a lot of things that people do not know what the fuck they're talking about. And you really have to start leaning into that credibility. What gives this person credibility in this space to give me this advice? And so I think we have to like have a little bit more of a lens around that in a way. But what I am excited about is I do think that people have become more forgiving of mistakes when it comes to business. And I think the reality of the situation is everyone's figuring it out. It's very hard to build a business, no matter how educated you are, how skilled you are, how smart you are, whatever. You're gonna make a mistake. And I think we came from cancel culture, right? Which was like, you're dead, you're done to me. Mm-hmm. One mistake, you're out the gate. Some of those mistakes, unforgivable. I totally agree. But I think it was like, it got to the point where it was like, any little thing you did was like immediate scrutiny, especially as a female CEO.
Yeah. And I feel like you experienced that a lot. Like,
yeah,
I've been very privileged to, I mean, I lead with grace, but I've been very privileged to have clients that also give me a lot of grace. I'm learning along the way. I am human. Like I'm not going to know everything. And the one thing about me is I will figure it out. Like, and nobody's going to outwork me. Like, I feel very strongly about that. That being said, I think cancel and accountability is completely different.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I think I go back to the intentions, like the intention behind the action. Like, was this malicious? And I feel like I actually saw a lot happening where people were getting canceled. And I'm like, this was like a slip up.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm going to throw the question back to you of like, how did you handle that? Because again, you experienced it way more than I did.
I think for me, I think what starts to happen is as your team grows, as your community grows, as your business grows, more money, more problems. Like that, my lawyer said that to me many times. And I think no one knows who to peg the problems on. So they always peg it on the founder and CEO.
Always.
Always. It's like, oh, this didn't work. Like, you know, and it's hard because it's like, you're not present for a lot of the things that are going wrong, right? But every fire makes its way to you. Even the smallest little thing like, hi, I got my gift bag. I noticed on someone else's Instagram, they had a lipstick. There was no lipstick in my bag. I'm highly disappointed. Like, what are you going to do? And I would buy the lipstick and send it to that person. Like, for so long.
No, truly, you are better than me. Like, you are, in that sense, you really are better than me.
But I had to put a boundary up because I could not make everyone happy. And I think that is the reality of what it means to be a human. It's like, you're not going to make everyone happy. And there's a scalability to what you can take as a person.
Mm.
And I think for me, I had to let go of that feeling of disappointment, like I'm disappointing someone, and be able to just solve the problems I could. Yeah. And I think it's funny because, you know, I'll send you DMs I get that are, you know, really mean or you know, coming for me when it's something that I have no control over.
Yeah.
You know, and even getting those DMs when I was not really part of the company, right? And now it rolls off my back. And for you, you're like triggered. You're like, oh my God, I don't know why. But it's because I think one, being a, like, I always think I'm like, when my Amazon order shows up fucked up, I'm not like, Jeff Bezos. What the fuck?
Or even like, you don't even.
It's women.
Yeah.
It's really women.
And they're also, I don't do well with entitled people. Like, that's just like, for me, entitlement really triggers me. And so there is this sense of entitlement that I think social media and like this, I don't know, like quick fix.
It's anonymity culture. Too. Like, they can say whatever they want without the repercussions.
Yeah. And it's like, you're taking someone's like life down. Like, what are you doing? Trying to like say something crazy.
Some people deserve it, right?
Sure. Like, yes. 100%.
To be totally clear. Yeah.
But like, that's a perfect example of like someone not getting a lipstick. And it's like, humans package that box. I don't know. Again, coming from my side. And yes, I'm very protective. I'm very protective of everybody in my life. But so like, when they get like not nice, you know, DMs, I'm like, tap me in, coach.
Like Mama Bear comes out. Yeah.
I'm getting in it. But it happens a lot with females. And I have been really experiencing this way more since spring cultivate. And it's very confusing to me. And I'll tell you exactly what it is. When I communicate, I talk like a normal person. Like, I'm talking, especially when it comes to business, I am there to accomplish something. So I'm communicating whatever it is that I need so we can finish that task. There is this societal expectation that women have to send some exclamation points, smiley faces, emojis in an email so they don't come off like bitches. And I am not here for it. Like, it drives me insane. And I remember like early on, I'll like send an email and I'll be like, the response that I get, the tone is so aggressive based off of my email. And I talk to you about it. I'm like, why? I didn't say anything rude. I'm literally just talking. And it is for being a female.
Being a female entrepreneur. I would also say, when it comes to create and cultivate, there's something about, and this is something that I've always struggled with. Create and cultivate is a for-profit business. Mm. Its mission is to empower ambitious women, give them the tools, tips, and tricks they need, whatever. We are not a nonprofit. We also aren't, you know, we aren't, you know, kind of a woo-woo, like, whatever. We're for women in business, right? We're very serious. People, and this includes employees, oftentimes conflate the two things where it's like, oh, you're doing good. That means you have to be a good, like good on every. So it's like when things are tough and you're being like a stricter boss, it's like, whoa, we're not empowering women anymore. And it's like, no, yeah, I'm giving you constructive feedback.
Yeah.
I remember I went into a meeting with like, I don't know, like 25 employees or something. And the head directors or whatever were supposed to do the agenda. I got in there and like the agenda wasn't printed. Someone thought it was someone else's day, like whatever, something had happened. But there's like, you know, a lot of people in that conference room, you know, wasting a lot of time. And I basically said, all right, guys, like, don't love this. Like, I'm going to come back in 30 minutes. Let's run this meeting differently. And I had like formal complaints filed against me for doing that. And I was so shocked and I was so disheartened by the experience where I was like, I can't do anything right. And it was really hard to lead. What I'll say is, I think most founders are terrible managers only because it's all in our brain. It's our vision. We've done it since the beginning. We know everything. We know too much, which is why I love bringing in CEOs, because you're like, stop thinking, start writing down what you're thinking about, because I need to make this a process.
Yeah.
And I don't think that way. And so I also think it's a leadership style. I think I didn't have a lot of leadership training. And I think there's things I could have done so much better in retrospect as a CEO and as the founder. Leadership is such a beautiful skill. Mm. And when I see people who do it really well, I'm so impressed, because I'm like, oh, wow. Because as a founder, you're the swan, right? You're beautifully gliding on a lake and your legs are working overtime, paddling underneath the lake, like, fuck, 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 fuck. And that was me at all times. And I think I wish I would have taken time to have been like, great job, team. Mm. Good job, you know, Julie, whoever, you did an amazing. I didn't have that capacity or that bandwidth, because I was just like, okay, on to the next thing. Which isn't a great leadership skill.
Yeah. But honestly, I think a lot of also like founders are like accidental founders, accidental
totally.
Entrepreneurs.
You didn't, I had no idea this was going to be a thing.
Like, you didn't know. And I think about like the training and the skills that I got, like that I was privileged enough from my corporate life, like working for a large company, the sales trainings, leadership. I mean, manicures on Thursday, like you name it, Yahoo provided it. Like
manicures?
It was literally manicures on Thursdays. But like those aren't things that a normal founder or a CEO would just automatically have to sit there through a training.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that there just needs to be a little bit of a little bit of grace. And I think communication, I know I said this on my Instagram of like, I'm not putting smiley faces on my email. I'm not putting exclamation points on my email. Like, I'm just not. Like, that's, I just want, even in the email we were writing earlier, like, wink face. And I'm like, no, I'm not writing a wink face. Remember?
You didn't
and
put
like,
the deleted, wink face?
I didn't put the wink face. I'm not winking. Yeah, I'm not giggling. I need to know when this is happening. But I'm wondering, so how do you overcome that, right? Like, how do you,
well, it's funny, even in our conversations, you're like, you need to be on Instagram more. You need to be posting more about your like day-to-day life. And I have a little bit of PTSD about it. Like I get nervous about like what to talk about, what to say. I don't know. I feel like I've been on this, not pedestal, I shouldn't say, but I'm so proud of what I've done with Create and Cultivate. And I've had this persona, as we all do, is like personal brand or whatever on Instagram, of like something very specific. And I've had that for so long. And it was funny because I started to have people tell me, you're nothing like your Instagram personality in real life.
You're better.
Thank you.
Like truly. No,
walked
truly.
Right into that. But like, but that was like a weird thing for me because I was like, oh, I don't want to be fake. I don't want to feel like inauthentic. But I was, you know, it's scary to be yourself on the internet, you know, and especially in the last 5 years, it's very scary to just like put it all out there and like have these conversations and talk about the failures and the wins. But now I'm on the other side of it. And I feel even more passionate about it where I'm like, not that I don't give a fuck, but I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, love me, hate me. I don't care. I'm exhausted from trying to make everyone happy. Like, it is now time, like, I want to do such a great job. I know I'll work my ass off and I'll and like make something so special of this company. And like when I get the DMs from the women that are like, oh my God, I'm so happy you're, you know, I'm happy you're back. Like you've changed my life. Like you've that's what makes it all worthwhile for me. And not everyone's going to like me. And I need to get okay with that. And I feel like I'm finally at that place.
Yeah.
Don't send me anything mean.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't have thick skin, please. No. So in full transparency, like I say that I really don't care. But the reason why I feel very like strongly about that of not like not caring is because of my intention.
Mm.
And I think that's exactly what you said. You know that like you want to help people, you want to build an amazing business, you want to support your team, you want to do all of these things and you're doing it. And
I'm doing the best I can.
You're doing the best. We're doing the best we can.
Okay. Totally.
Like give us a second, you know? It really is insane. But I do think that it goes back to building in public. That the more that you build in public, the more people are comfortable thinking they can say whatever.
Totally.
Oh, like, oh, you answered my DMs. Like, we're friends now. If I'm unhappy, I'm going to contact you directly. And it's like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
So we have some questions I want to kind of go through. Someone asked, how do I give constructive feedback to my team without being perceived as a bitch?
I think feedback has a forum, and I think it needs to be done correctly. We did a post about this in Create Cultivate. Take a breath before you send that email, girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's number one. Like, not on Slack, not on whatever. It needs to be formalized feedback. Talk about the good, if there was any good, and talk about what could be better.
Yeah,
it's never the bad. What could be better? I think formalizing feedback in different ways, putting it in email, being as specific as possible with what could improve. Versus coming in, you can't go into it thinking anyone had bad intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the reality. And like, also you have to keep in mind, like they're learning, right? Like, you know, again, and this might be a much bigger mistake. Like I think, oh my gosh, I think about, talk about building in public. The guy from Snapchat who on their, they did their earnings report and he had said that they, it was like, instead of saying they had like $500,000 in profit, he said they had $5 million, like made the mistake. The stock increased significantly because everyone's like, oh my gosh, huge mistake. Like I'm...
You got fired?
I'm...
Positive.
Probably. I mean, and he's a CFO.
Wow.
Like that's a... And I felt, part of me was like, whoa, huge mistake. Yeah. Second part of me was like, that poor guy. Like, mistakes happen. Yeah. I think that's reality. I think, again, it's the approach to the criticism and how you're doing it. And yeah. Look, I'm not an expert. I've definitely been like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, yeah. I think delivery is a big thing. Like, yeah. Understanding the triggers of anybody. Whenever you're attacking anybody, they're going to go into fight or flight, right? Like,
yes.
Immediately. And so not only do they go into that mode, they can't receive your feedback and then they can't fix it in the long run. Mm. So you're going to probably end up seeing the same problem happen or the same mistake happen because they haven't fully processed the feedback. And so I love a little like feedback sandwich, like positive. This is what happened that maybe we don't like. And here's another positive of what we can improve. Like, be super solution oriented and figure out like, here is what I don't like. Here is what I like better. And then again, going back to my three T's, time, tone, and turf. Like, time, tone, and turf.
That's, I love that you've now made them your three T's.
It's Emily's.
Trademark. Time. And she's like, immediate lawsuit. No, I mean, I feel like the name of this episode has to be feedback sandwich.
Yeah, a little feedback sandwich. Okay, another one. I'm struggling to find the right tone with my team. Everything I am doing is being perceived as negative.
Mm.
What do I need to do to change?
Been there, done that. I think it's important to talk about work styles when someone's new to the team. And I think it has to be like, my work love language is like to-do list. My work love language is a hot list. My work language is you, is emails, not meetings. It's text. It's not whatever. You know, like, just have those upfront conversations. And I think it's about setting the tone of like, hey, like, my brain works a million miles an hour. I'm going to like fire 1,000 things on Slack. If it's timely, I'll tell you. But make a note of it. Like, just make sure you're saying, like, this is how I operate and how I work. And it's not about the person. It's about, like, this is how I communicate. Because I think it's probably just coming off as short. But again, it's not up to you to make people feel like everything's a, you know, beautiful, smiley, unicorn world. But I think it's just about setting the tone of your tone up front. Like, this is how I communicate.
Yeah.
For me, everything's going to have a typo in it. You need to decipher what I'm saying.
Guys, I just wish you would see how Jacqueline types. I'm like, what? What are you typing with your tongue? Like, how did you get this?
My
like,
iPhone hates me. My brain moves faster than my thumbs. And like, I'm like,
oh my God, it's so painful.
It was a joke amongst the Create and Cultivate team. Like, who could decipher the code?
But now I've gotten really, really good at it. The first few months we were working together, I was like, oh, okay, like, it's just a couple mistakes. And then it kept happening. And I was like, oh, this is just how you speak. Like, this is so painful.
Only for work stuff, though. Yeah. It's like, everyone's like, what does that mean? It says she wants you to reschedule it for next Tuesday.
Totally. Like, it's just so funny. Even the team now, like, they'll look, you'll say something, and instead of yes, you wrote he's. And they're like, yes, what? Like, they understood completely what you said. It's just, they get it. He's, that's your thing. But yeah, I think the right, like, I don't know. For me, I want to make my team feel good. I am a words of affirmation. Like, at the end of the week, I'm very thankful. I'm just like, thank you so much. You know, you did really great. Like, here are the things that we're going to do next week. Have an amazing, like, I just want to always uplift people and encourage them.
Yeah.
And I also want people to love the work that they do.
Yeah.
And there was a panel on Create and Cultivate. Cindy from Chill House.
Love.
I forgot who she was talking to, but she said something like she let go of someone and the other person was on the panel as well. And she thanked Cindy for letting her go because it allowed her to fully embody this new journey that she was on and being an entrepreneur. So I say all of this to say, if someone is not good at their job and they don't belong there, like, let them go so they can do the things that they're meant to do. And like, my job is to make sure that I have the right people in the right positions and uplift them and make them feel good. And when they're not doing things, like, let them know, hey, this is what you did. This is how we could do it better. And so I think it is, again, my three T's.
Oh my gosh, please. Please stop. The lawyers are drafting the paperwork. Please stop. Yeah. No, but I do think it comes down to that. I mean, like, here's my thing about building in public. I'm excited that people are talking about the problems and the heartaches and the mistakes of being an entrepreneur publicly. I think for so long, it was just like, everything's perfect. And then everyone's like, it's not perfect. And you haven't been talking about that. And now everyone's coming after you, right? I'm excited that we're into accountability culture versus cancel culture. I think that's important as well. But I think it's also, you know, again, to your point, there are certain things that you should keep to yourself. And like, there is boundaries you need to put in place depending on who you are and mm-hmm. what you want. But that's it for this episode of Work Party Building in Public. We hope you had fun.
Yeah, that was amazing. Be sure to submit your listener questions. We want to read them out loud. We have so much fun with that. And follow and subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review if you have a minute.
And don't forget, work hard
and party on.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Work Party. If you like what you heard, follow, leave a review, rate the pod, or slide into our DMs.
Check out the different ways you can create and cultivate on our website, createcultivate.com. From retreats and masterminds to our summits and festival.
We have different experiences to support you through your entrepreneurial journey from launch
to legacy.
Follow us at Create Cultivate on all platforms. And don't forget, work hard.
Party on.